the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Peyton Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. Of course, we couldn't get any of this done without our fearless producer, Katie Galley, and without a wonderful room full of guests. Lee, it's going to be a fantastic segment, fantastic show. First up on the High Velocity Radio Show, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast CEO / humanitarian with Inspire Into Results, Meenal Vashisht. How did I do on that?
You did amazingly well.
Amazing. Amazing.
I nailed that part about CEO, right? I got that.
You did. That was awesome.
All right. So, yeah, what an interesting title. Tell us mission, purpose. What are you out there doing for folks?
Well, I believe that when actions are backed by inspiration, the results are stunning. And we have seen that in real life all the time. So what I do is I help people find out what is holding them back from reaching their next level. And I show them how to get there. And that's the basis of my business. And the humanitarian part is, you know, you just normally care for a welfare of the people. And if you bring that into your daily living, that just 10x's your productivity right then and there.
So now, do you find that most people in their heads, they have all these dreams and they want to do stuff and they want to take action. They want things to be better than they are, but something holds them back?
Absolutely. All the time. I mean, as a LinkedIn advisor as well, I get calls all the time from people, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that. But you know what? It won't work. And I'm going, why? And then they'll come up with a limitation. And I'll be like, well, did you apply for the job yet? And the answer normally is, no, I have not. So before even trying, they will give it up. And that's the case with most brilliant ideas. They just go to sleep in people's heads.
So they kind of eliminate themselves without even trying.
Absolutely.
They like talk themselves out of it.
Very successfully.
So now, do you find that's how most people are?
I have seen some people actually want to get to the next level and they don't know how, but they do reach out for help.
Right.
And those are the people who actually step out of their comfort zone and get to the next level.
So, but they take action.
They take action.
They may not have a well thought out plan, but they're doing stuff.
Absolutely.
And you find that that person has a better chance of being successful than the person who has maybe a better idea, but never takes action.
Yes, that is definitely the case most of the time.
So now, so when you're working with somebody, what does the process look like?
Well, the basis of what I do with people is paradigms.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of that word before?
Yes.
Yes. So a lot of people know that word. However, they do not realize the impact of what it does to them.
So why don't you define what paradigm means so people can all understand?
Paradigm is basically your conditioning. You received genetic conditioning from your parents, your ancestors, and then you also received some conditioning from your environment.
Mm-hmm.
From the time up until you were born till now. How you act in the world, how you react, how you respond to situations. It's all built into your paradigms, you know, your belief systems, your self-image. It's all a part of your paradigm. And that's your programming. Your programming will keep you at that particular level. Now, if you want to go to a new level, you need new programming. But if you've been existing on this planet for 40 plus years with a particular programming, I promise you it will not go away in one day. In order to install new programming, you need to give yourself some time.
So now, what is the process to change the paradigm? How do you go about doing that?
Well, there are two ways to actually get rid of your paradigms.
So do you have to get rid of it, or can you just kind of tweak it around the edges?
You can tweak it around the edges. You can overcrowd it with your new paradigms. But either way, there are two ways. One is traumatic, like 9/11 was a traumatic
experience. Like if something major happens.
Yes.
Then that forces you to rethink things.
It does. It does. And you do see it a lot. Like when I talk to people who've been through some serious things in their lives, like cancer or whatever, they normally go back and they're like, oh, you know what? This is what I thought, that the way I've been living up until now is not working. Mm-hmm. And then they switch. But we don't want that kind of an experience.
Right. You'd rather not wait till something horrible happens.
Right. Right. And the other way is repetition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, neurosciences have proven that if you repeat something for more than 30 days, up until at least 60 days, you are now able to build it as a habit.
Mm-hmm.
Your paradigm is actually what's automatic in you. It's your habit. You don't have to give much thought. If you have food in front of you, you know, how am I going to get it in my mouth?
Right.
Right. From the time you wake up all the way up until you go to sleep, you're following a pattern. So just tweaking those patterns a little bit, little shifts create major results in lives.
So now when you're working with your client, are they coming to you because they have this big goal that they want to achieve and they need some guidance and maybe an accountability partner or somebody that's going to help them?
Sometimes, yes, they do. Sometimes they come with a big goal in their mind. Sometimes they don't even know that they have a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're just stuck and they want the situation to go away. And we help them,
mm-hmm.
and we show them, you know, well, goal setting is the most important part of making a change. If you don't tell yourself what you want to work towards, you won't know.
And you'll never get there.
You'll never get there. The first bump that comes along your way, you'll go back to your safety zone.
You right. know? It's like planning a vacation. Like, do you want to go to California or to Maine? And you can't just get in the car and drive. Like, you have to aim at one of those if you want to get there.
Absolutely. You cannot get to Maine, you know, from your driveway. You have to plan those points. And that is exactly what the goal does for you.
Right.
So are most people or a lot of people not very good at goal setting or just reluctant to engage in goal setting or what? Because I get the sense that maybe this is not happening as consistently as it should be.
It doesn't happen at all. I have not.
Okay, then. I was right. One for
well,
stone.
For the people that I have spoken with, I have not spoken with one person who came to me, this is the goal I want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. You know, it's a good thing that they at least reach out for help. Now, it's my job to take them through a series of questions and figure out what it is they really want and what is their goal. You know,
because they come to you not knowing. They just know they want better. Or
they just
unhappy.
Know. They just know that
wow.
they want. There is always an innate awareness inside all of us that tells us we want something better. We want to do more. We want to have more. We want to be more. Right. And it's not always clear how or what you want to do. And that is where I come in. And I ask them, you know, what are some of the values that you resonate with most? What it is that you really, really like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might have heard that your goal is not going to work for you if you don't have a purpose behind it. Your why is really important. You know, a lot of people are like, your why is important. Your why is important. Your purpose is important. But do you know why your why is important? Your why is important because it totally shifts your identity. For as long as you are worried about you, yourself, and what's going to happen to me, your why will not work for you. When your why is about other people and it really speaks to every cell of your body, that's when you start propelling towards your goal.
Now, can you talk a little bit about your own backstory? Like, you're from the Fiji Islands, right?
Yes, I'm from the Fiji Islands.
Where exactly is that? It sounds very exotic. It sounds like a great place to go. Where exactly is that?
It is a beautiful place to go. It's in the South Pacific, nearby Australia and New Zealand.
Okay.
So if you ever go there, definitely do a trip, Australia, New Zealand, and Fiji.
Now, and the water is fantastic because they bottle it and ship it everywhere.
You know, it was so nice to taste the water in the United States.
So what got you here? And then was your path always this type of coaching, or did you have a more traditional corporate background before changing gears?
Now, Fiji Islands is very small.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, at that time, we had one TV in the town.
In the town?
And
wow.
And it was a neighborhood. It was a community thing. You know, would go and watch a movie at right. that particular person's house, like Friday nights. Uh-huh. It was a really, really beautiful childhood I had. Now, as I grew up, yes, we did have now a new TV in our house, but still no TV. It used to be VHS cassettes, right? So it was a very closed environment. I wasn't even exposed to having dreams and, you know, doing this. And I was living in my own life. And when I came over here, I came because there was a coup in the Fiji Islands at that time. And my father felt like it's time for a change for the family. And so we migrated over here. And, you know, I got my first job at Chick-fil-A.
Oh, you came to Atlanta?
I came to Atlanta.
Oh, wow. Out of the whole planet.
Fiji to Atlanta.
Wow.
And my first paycheck was way more than what the manager at our store in the Fiji island made. And
really?
Let me tell you, I was excited. Yeah. I was freaking excited. And yeah, so I had a little taste of independence.
Right.
And I was in high school at that time. High school was very different. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you're in the Fiji Islands, and the windows are open and you see the mountains and then you see the blue, or, you know, the ocean, blue water, right? Yeah. And over here, I was like, oh my gosh, where's my water? And then I went into college. And when I went to college, you know, again, I didn't have a goal. I just knew I wanted to do something really, really great, you know? So I switched my majors around here and there, trying and testing. And finally, I ended up in IT. So most of my life was devoted to IT. And the way I came into this is at some point in time, it got a little bit boring. It was like, I'm done with this. There has to be something more. There has to be something more. And, you know, I don't know a human being who has not been through a major shift in their lives. People go through things. Stuff happens.
And well, so, moving from the Fiji to America is a major shift.
It was a major shift, and I did deal with it. And the good thing was, America, the United States, is such a melting pot that I found kindred spirit over here. There are people from all over the world going to my high school. So it was nice. It was a really nice experience learning to get out there and you know, be independent. So, yeah.
So at some point, though, you worked a corporate regular person job and then you said, you know what, I'm going to change gears. And then
I did. I was
doing my own thing.
I actually went and trained people offshore to do exactly what I do as an escalation engineer. When you are an escalation engineer, you have to make sure the issue is resolved.
Right.
Right. And this is where I see why I got into this. It's the level of awareness. You know, where the escalation engineers see the possibilities, other people don't see the possibilities. So when other people are not able to fix it, there are other people who come in and actually do fix the issues.
So now, in some of your work, you refer to the word mastermind. What does that mean, and like, how does it come into play in this?
Mastermind is a meeting that is elevated to a level of harmony that is unmatched. And when you have that, if you ever get a chance to read the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, mm-hmm. Mastermind over there says when two minds are there in a state of harmony, there's actually almost a third mind that works and brings power to the meeting. Now, when people work together, yes, there is, you know, there's a huge force in numbers, but those numbers are there because of the minds. It's the mind that pulls the power. And when you work together to progress and you have one person that kind of anchors you back, that does not work.
So then, and I believe in Napoleon Hill's book, there's several people make a mastermind group, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so when you have all that collective mind power all working on the same thing, then you get a result that's better than any individual.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But she also said cut the dead wood. That was part of your comment too, right? you don't want anybody holding you back. Didn't you say that?
You don't want to cut the dead wood.
pruning. You got to prune.
There's no such thing as a dead wood. Now, I would go back and address, you know, what's the reasoning behind this? Why are you, you know, where are you seeing the limitations, whereas other people are seeing the possibilities? Don't, you know, we don't just cut people out. You give them a chance and explain and try to find out what's going on. And normally you're able to bring them back.
All right, I got to know, because I'm a sales and marketing guy, right? How do you get to work? Because this is a great conversation. We're getting to really learn about you and where you come from and how you think and how you might serve. But how do you get to work? Are people coming to you? Or are you out educating people about this? Or?
Well, I go out there and I have workshops. I have seminars. I do educate people. And you know, there's times that people just come to me. There was this one time that I was getting my makeup done for my sister's wedding, and the makeup artist, she was like, well, what do you do? And I said, well, this is what I do. She's like, I want to work with you. I said, okay, well, that's great. Let's first sit down and talk about why you want to work with
me. Well, first fix my face. My sister's getting married.
Yes. Well, right. She did a fantastic job.
So now if somebody wanted to get a hold of you to have a more substantive conversation, what's the best way to reach you?
Well, I do have a website. It's called inspireintoresults.com. And there's several buttons that they can push and get in touch with me.
So you strike me as the kind of person that might have a book in them. Are you thinking about writing a book? Or?
I am thinking about writing a book. Yeah. Absolutely. I have written a small ebook about goal setting because it is so important and I saw the need for it. And that one is for free. So anybody can get that. I have a little link on my Facebook, my LinkedIn account, everywhere I can, you know, market it.
So if someone were to reach out to you, they don't necessarily have to dive in completely. They can kind of get their toe wet. They can learn a little bit about you and your work, and they can read the ebook and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. I do offer a little, you know, try me kind of a program mm-hmm. on goal setting. But goal setting is so important. That's like the basis of everything.
Right. If you don't get that right, then you could waste a lot of time.
Absolutely. So that's like a little trial package. You know, let's work together for 2 weeks and get your goal.
A goal could be simple, like the check clears, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be anything. I told you I'm in sales and marketing.
Yes.
All right. One more time. Best coordinates, email, phone number, whatever's appropriate.
Yes. And my phone number, 678-717-9814.
And it's inspireintoresults.com.
Yes.
Well, good stuff. Keep up the good work and keep us posted on what's going on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah. Hey, stay with us a little bit. We're going to visit with a couple more folks.
Yeah. Let's do that.
All right. Next up on the High Velocity Radio Show, we have with us, with Present Your Way to Success, Mr. David Dorrier. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing well. Are you inspired? Did you learn anything in that segment? Do you have any goals? What's your take on all that stuff?
I did learn a lot. Mm-hmm. I also learned that we have a number of things in common, because with teaching Present Your Way to Success, to be successful in presenting to any size audience, you first have to have a good belief system. And that's a big part of presenting, no matter what size your audience is. If I believe that I'm going to be successful, more than likely I will be successful. If I believe that I'm going to fail at presenting in front of this audience, more than likely I'm going to fail.
So either way, you're right.
That's right.
So now, do you have any kind of tips for the presenter in terms of how to make that initial connection with the audience?
And that's a great question, because that's one of the things that I teach is it's more than just conquering your fear of speaking in public. It's about what techniques, what processes can I use to ensure that my audience truly understands what it is that I'm trying to either sell or maybe a cause that I have. And my background comes from training. I've been in the training business. I started in the Air Force in 1994 as a true trainer, learning the processes of how to design training, how to deliver training on a daily basis. And I've been involved in training since then. And that's the types of processes that I use now. Because as a trainer, I have to ensure that when my audience, my classroom leaves, that they're able to now take these processes that we've talked about, or these new techniques or these new management processes, and be able to apply them. But before they leave, I have to make sure that they understand it. And it's the same thing as a public speaker. I just don't want to do a data dump to my audience and hope that they get it and hope that they take some sort of an action. I've got to ensure that they understand what I'm saying.
Now, the military does a good job in training because it's life or death, right?
Exactly. Yes.
So the stakes are high. When a person is in business, they can lose the audience, but no one dies, you know, but like, so that kind of foundation, I would imagine, helps you dramatically compared to somebody who didn't come from the military.
Sure. And I would say that the one thing that could die in business would be the business.
Right.
If I am out there on a daily basis and I'm trying to sell my product or get my information across, but it just isn't connecting, and day after day after day after day, it's at some point I'm going to lose interest and the business could die. So there is that similarity.
But when you're working with, when you're coaching somebody up on how to be a good presenter, how much of it is spent with the mechanics of how to do the presentation, and how much is spent in the mindset of how to be confident and not nervous?
I would say that the majority of it is talking about the mechanics of how best to connect with your audience, and also the basics of presenting in front of a group of people. I use two processes for that: R.M. Gagné's 9 events of instruction, and also with adult learning theory, how I can connect with my audience. I believe that if I can create a foundation, if I know my ABCs of speaking in public, that I can tap into those processes no matter what type of group I'm going to be presenting to. The understanding, having that strong foundation, is going to help me work through that nervousness, because I'll know that if I do get nervous, it's okay, let me tap into these techniques.
Because you must have no fear whatsoever, because you're presenting to people about presenting.
That's a great question. I can tell you this, I have monetized my greatest fear. My greatest fear is speaking in public.
Wow.
I've been very fortunate.
How's that for setting a goal, Meenal, right?
That is absolutely
is that not
amazing.
Awesome?
Yes.
It's interesting because of the types of careers that I've fallen into. I mentioned military. I was in active duty military for 10 years. And the reason I transitioned from active duty military into the reserves was because I wanted to pursue my fame and fortune in radio broadcasting.
Oh, well, anybody can do radio. We know that, right?
Anybody can do radio if I made it in radio. I found a lot of the fame, but none of the fortune. So I had to go out and get a real job. So and through the military, through the reserves, I then ended up in a training organization here. That's what brought me here to Georgia from Texas. Another thing we have in common, I started radio in Guam, which was sort of kind of in the area of Fiji. I don't think Guam is considered South Pacific, but it's in the Philippines.
It's closer to Fiji than Marietta.
It is a lot closer. So through radio broadcasting, I ended up started part-time and then got out of full-time military, pursued full-time radio. And my point is that the careers that I've found their way to me are all careers that put me out in front of people. So I along with training, along with radio, I was a stage actor for a number of years. I do voiceover. The thing about voiceover is I can do that in my little cocoon at home, and I don't have an audience looking at me. So all of these things, and also I became a corporate trainer doing soft skills, software training, disc training, which keeps me in front of an audience on a daily basis. So I had to learn processes that would help me to be confident in front of an audience on a daily basis.
And these processes are agnostic to the subject matter, right? You can just layer in the subject matter on top of these processes.
Sure. Being a subject matter expert certainly is one of the processes. Being confident in knowing what you're going to talk about is certainly going to help work through those fears.
Now, you said something French earlier in the conversation.
French.
I don't know. It sounded foreign, like 9 rules or something, or 12.
R.M. Gagné's 9 rules of instruction.
Gagné. It sounds French, doesn't it? All right, so that's more mechanics?
Yes, there's two processes that I mentioned. Right. Is the adult learning theory is looking at how do adults learn. It's kind of the philosophy of how what all adults are looking for, not only in a learning environment, but also if you're going to be presenting to them. What are they looking for? What types of things are they looking for so they can retain the information? It's not doing a data dump and hope they get it. So that's one of the processes. The other is, I would say, yes, is the mechanics, the 9 events of instruction. How do I prepare? How do I deliver my – it's not the exact content. It's just how do I deliver? How do I make sure that they understand the information? How do I assess my audience? Those types of things.
But today you can share, or are you comfortable sharing some specific tactics or tips that the audience can kind of come away with and actually implement?
Sure. I use the ABCs, the ABCs of speaking in public. A is your agenda. What are you going to talk about? Where, when, how, all of those WH questions. And understanding, will there be a microphone? Will there be a lectern? How large is the audience? Does the audience know before I arrive what my subject is? Do I need to understand my audience? Do I need to understand what more about what they're looking for? All of those things are part of the agenda. Having all of that knowledge certainly can help me to work through my nervousness versus just being thrown up on stage and not knowing what the environment looks like. So that could be one of those. The B, which I feel is the biggest part of it, all of it, A, B, and C is big, but B is the beliefs. This is the same thing that Meenal was talking about earlier, is that mindset. And I was saying this earlier as well. If I talk about the belief, I believe that I'm going to do a good job. I believe that my audience wants me to be successful. I believe that I might make a mistake, but how I bounce back from that mistake is going to make or break me as a professional speaker. And one other thing is that a lot of speaking, 93% of my message comes from my body language or comes from the nonverbals.
Oh, wow.
So understanding that as a facilitator, getting up, understanding my agenda, understanding my content, but I looked at the floor the entire time, that's going to say something to my audience. I had my hands in my pocket the entire time. I leaned on something the entire time. That's going to say something to my audience. So B, the beliefs. C, the core communication skills. These are 5 things. Listening. Not only listening to my audience with my ears, but listening to my audience with my eyes. If my audience starts to, everyone puts their head down on the table and starts going to sleep, then I'm going to have to change the way that I'm delivering my message to my audience. Along with my listening is my eye contact. Eye contact is extremely important because eyes are the window to the soul. It really gets me intimate with my audience if I can connect through eyes. The other is breathing. If I can breathe properly, that's going to help not only project my voice, but it's also going to help to relax me. The other is my nonverbals. And we just talked about that. So why that's important. And the other is vocal variety. Don't want to get up in front of my audience and just have monotone the entire time, or I'm not speaking loud enough, or maybe I'm speaking too loud the entire time. Certainly can be a distraction to my audience. So the ABCs.
Now, how do you know that the audience is retaining what you're saying? Like, how do you know? Like, you know, you think like, oh, I'm killing it. And then they, you know, right. Is there ways to tell, or you don't really know?
Sure. Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of it's going to vary depending on the delivery. If the delivery is just strictly lecture, then some ways that I could tell, number one is, did they take action at the end? Okay. During the presentation, am I able to get reactions from them? Did they laugh? Did they interact with me in some way? That could be one test of that. Now, let's say that we're in a more of a training environment. I can put them into small groups and have them accomplish a task of some sort. Did they understand the task that I assigned them? Did they accomplish the task that I assigned them? Those types of things. And there's just a million other ways that I can gauge.
So are you going into organizations and working with teams? Is that most of your practice? Or do you primarily focus on, like, Lee's got a thing coming up Friday It's not live, but it has a live element to it. Do you work one-on-one with people that are trying to get ready for the big presentation kind of thing?
At this point, I yes to everything.
Yes to both.
Yes to both. So let me tell you that I've been teaching this stuff and applying this stuff for 25 years in corporate America. I've just now, over the past month and a half, I'm now creating the business. I'm open to whatever direction it goes in. I have a public workshop that's coming up on April 24th.
Open enrollment. Anybody can come.
Open enrollment. That's what this.
Yeah, tell us about that.
This is coming up April 24th at the City Club in Buckhead. It's $35. It includes breakfast. It is part of a presentation series that Donna Lang has put on with a number of different speakers that are coming in. What do you want to know about presentation workshop is what this one is called. And it will be 3 hours of me presenting a little bit more in detail of some of the things that I've just talked about in front of an audience of somewhere between 40 to 60 people. I hope for.
He's a name dropper. The reason I say that, I'm familiar with Donna Lang and her work, and I don't think I'm speaking out of school by sharing with you. There was a time in my development professionally where she was incredibly helpful to me. So if you're hanging out with that crowd, you're definitely hanging out with
her. I hang out with her a lot. She's my wife.
I think the world of Donna, yes. And she's one of the reasons, by no small measure, that I get to do this for a living.
Right.
Because I think she helped me get in touch with some of the things you were talking about, Meenal, about what you're really trying to accomplish and the why.
The mindset and the why.
The mindset and the why and behind it. And breaking and being willing to break free and actually set some goals in concert with what I say I'm trying to accomplish. Because where I was pretty comfortable in terms of money, and I knew how to do it and all that. And
you know what?
So it was huge.
It's amazing that you recognize that. Gratitude is such a big part of our success. And if there's one thing that we could take away from all this, just be grateful for everything you have today.
Thank you, Donna. Because of you, I do not have to have a real job. All right. So back to you. So you're going to do this open enrollment thing.
So this is April 24th from 8 a.m. to 11:30 at the City Club in Buckhead. And this will be 3 hours of going through the basics of the ABCs, how to connect with your audience, some basics on presentation skills. And all of this will lead up to talking about some additional workshops, day-long workshops that I'll be putting together. I do have one coming up May 15th.
You got this thing pretty well laid out.
Donna's helping me out, but I've also had this thing in my head. I've taught this in corporate America for a number of years. I've been a mentor to new trainers. I've been a mentor to salespeople. I've also applied this for people that are working in customer service type jobs, because in a way that they're training as well. They have to connect with that person on the other end of the line that their software has crashed and their whole business is failing them, and be able to talk to them and connect with that customer on the line and truly understand what it is that's going wrong.
Oh, I didn't think about that application. So there really is application for this material for that customer service.
Customer service, sales, anybody that's connecting with their audience that needs to understand not only what their audience wants, but also be able to convey the message that I have, and my audience understands it.
All right. There's this other piece too, though. You come across, and I believe you are genuinely sincere, and your whole approach in talking about this or any topic, I suspect, is very disarming. So I may not believe everything you tell me. So far I have. But I absolutely believe that you believe, and I believe you're trying to help me. Can that be taught? And I felt the same way about my conversation with Meenal. Or is that just some people are wired that way, some people are not wired that way and should do something else for a living?
So your question is that can this be taught? Can public speaking be taught?
No, this other quality that I don't quite know how to define, but maybe I'm the only one, but I think maybe other people in the room are, you get that
absolutely.
Same feeling.
That, you know, there's times that you talk to people and sometimes what they say, it just goes right in. It sinks in at your intellectual, emotional, physical, every dimension of you. And those are the people who are highly integrated about what they're teaching. right? Which is what is the case.
And I think you're that guy.
I'm that guy. Well, thank you.
And I'm sure that you've polished it all up with this French stuff. And
French stuff, yeah. Well, I would say what it comes from is I'm just now starting to get out and go to networking groups. And the couple of times that I've been to networking groups in the past, and what I've observed is everybody talking about what they do and not understanding what I need. And what's important to me is making sure that, number one, I understand what my customer wants. What does my customer need? Where are the gaps? What are they trying to achieve? What has worked in the past? What hasn't worked in the past? I don't want to come into your organization and say and not understand what you need and just say, okay, I know what you need. You need A, B, and C. You need this, this, and this. I just, that isn't the way that I've never been that way. I get turned off from people who come up to me and immediately start selling me something.
So now you're part of Toastmasters. Did that help you in this, or is that a safe place to practice? Is that important for presenters? You think that that's a must have?
Yes, 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 and yes. I've been involved in Toastmasters. I was originally involved in Toastmasters in the late 90s to early 2000. That's when I started my training career at Dobbins and was with a group in Marietta. I was with them long enough to get my competent Toastmaster, where I completed my first 10 speeches. And then I left Toastmasters for a number of years. At that time, I was really entrenched in training. I was training on a daily basis. And not that I didn't feel I needed it, I just kind of drifted away from it. And now I've come back to it. And there are many things that I've learned from Toastmasters that I incorporate in what I do. And if anyone is looking to get better at speaking, and I think that it's a skill that you can use anytime, whether I'm job interviewing, whether I'm a manager, whether I want to get a promotion, having that confidence to be able to speak in front of one or many people, it's invaluable. I've been now involved in Toastmasters again for a year, and I have to say that I was competing in the table topics contest, the impromptu speaking contest, and made it to third place in the division level.
All right. Congratulations. All right. Where can our listeners go to learn more, have a conversation with you, maybe map out a personal development process, or maybe it's somebody in an organization that would like to have some help with their team? What's the best way for them to reach out and have that conversation?
Two ways. You can call me, 404-291-0034, or go to my website, newly created website, presentyourwaytosuccess.com.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for coming and hanging out with us, man. And let's talk offline about some voiceover work and stuff too, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got a whole list of stuff that you do.
Well, we didn't talk about my voiceover and also Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Professional so Santa Claus. You can find that on my website, my voiceover and also Santa Claus down on the bottom of the page of presentyourwaytosuccess.com.
It's all right there. And perhaps the most important thing we discovered is he's connected to Donna Lang. So that ought to do the trick. All right. Lee, you ready for the headliner?
I am.
God bless her. She sat there so patiently. I think I saw her taking some notes. I know I saw her nodding her head in both of the episodes. It is my pleasure to introduce with SaneGifts.com, Miss Pat Harmeyer. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks so much.
So what did I pick up on that body language correctly? Were you getting something out of those last two conversations?
Oh, I love it. I love the way both of these presented, and they're working on ideas. I've been in sales and marketing for years, and some of those very things are what everybody needs to work on, but a lot of people don't achieve success at it. And I just think both of them showed exactly how good they are at it. When I'm in sales and marketing, I have it always, but at this time, I have a product to sell entirely different from what the two of them are doing. It's much more difficult to convince somebody that they need to set a goal, achieve something. It's in their mind, it's in their belief, than for me to hand somebody a product. So I have to give them all the kudos because I think they are doing a terrific job.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about Sane Gifts? What are you doing for folks?
Well, Zane is a little bit different from just a gift shop. We are online only. We have a variety of gifts, so it's not dependent upon one particular thing. We go from baby gifts to corporate gifts, clothing, personal gifts, a little bit of everything. What makes us unique is that every gift that leaves the shop is personalized. It's going to have your monogram, your picture, your logo, something about you. You own it. Everything we do is to promote you or your business or create something that you want to save or give to someone. So it makes it a little bit different situation. We don't mass produce anything. Nothing we do is usually in duplicates. Sometimes a company will order duplicates of something, and we love those jobs. But the idea is for the person to have a keepsake. Something that they're going to keep, they're going to give to someone, and they're going to enjoy it and realize that somebody thought about them before they gave them that gift.
Now, can you share a little bit about how, in the corporate world, how someone would utilize this? Is this something like an end of the year present or to commemorate a big event? Like, how would a corporate a business use this personalized gifts?
Yeah, the stoneware division is what we developed especially for corporate. A lot of the soft goods are embroidered items. So those are fine for monograms, and they're good for corporate gifts too. But in the stoneware section, we can do custom coasters, round, square, your usual coaster, but it can have the company's logo on it. We do a series for attorneys that have attorneys' sayings on them. Attorneys like to use those for gifts. They can have pictures of something they've done. We have various artists that we reproduce their paintings, pictures, whatever, and then they handle the sales. We produce the product. But they can use those then as advertising or just as giveaways. But the way the stoneware works is that the image does not scratch off. It doesn't wear off. It's there permanently. It's not an inexpensive way to treat stoneware. So it makes it considerably different when they're ordering those types of things. We have big slate pieces that can be used as presentation. And that's where a lot of times with companies that want to have an employee recognition, they have a picture of the employee, or we put the wording, and then they use the slate plaque for a presentation. And those work out very well. And they're always kept because they're personalized. And it's something that the company has done to recognize someone.
So now, how do you curate? There's an infinite, seems, gift ideas out there. How do you curate, like, which are the ones that you're going to show to your clients? Yeah.
We try to keep up with what's new. We don't have the old things. Just take baby gifts, for instance. We have the latest things that are on the market for babies that can be monogrammed. When we're looking at corporate gifts, we're looking at anything new. Not a promotional item that pins that everybody can put a name on, but perhaps something like the slate pieces or something that they can create that is entirely different from anything that they might go somewhere else and buy. A lot of times companies will tend to think, well, they're personalized and that's going to cost a lot more.
Right.
It really doesn't. We can be very cost effective, but yet you're producing something that they couldn't get it overnight, but it will be something that people will keep and enjoy as opposed to a quickie gift.
So now when you're working with clients, I would imagine that over the years you would develop pretty good relationships and that you can anticipate the things they like and the things they don't like and how to kind of, like, you're almost like in partnership with them.
Exactly. And that's very important. relationships keep make it easy for us to work with them. A company that, say, gives a gift to all of their clients on their anniversary date. So we have them coming up with, you know, month after month, it'll be a different client. But if we've worked with that person for so long that we know the type thing they want, we know the type product that they, the price range that they want to do, and we can make suggestions and come up with things that would be a little different. So knowing our client and working with them on a consistent basis helps us to plan and know what they might like and be able to keep up with something that's new and different.
So now, if a company hadn't done a lot of gift giving over the years, what's kind of a some baby steps they can do to get into the kind of being more generous?
Well, the good part about it is since we do everything personalized and they're all one at a time, you can start with one gift. Somebody can come to us and say, well, I want one of this. Whereas a lot of times to get that price, you would have to do multiples or you'd have to make a lot of them. We do them one at a time so we can make one. A company can try us out and see. We have real estate agents that every time they go to a closing, they take a set of coasters with the pictures of the house on it.
Nice. The house you just bought.
The house they just bought or just sold.
Wow.
Nice.
They can work with buyers or sellers.
Right.
And we do the coasters. We put them in a nice clear package and we gift wrap them so that they're ready to go. All they have to do is walk into closing and they have them right there.
That is very thoughtful. So I'm getting the sense that I could kind of poke around in your shop, visit with you a little bit, but also just come to you with a general idea or a need, and you're going to help me craft something. Did we do anything from get me out of trouble with my wife to, you know, endear me with our best clients?
Exactly, because that's why we try to have a wide variety of gifts. One of our other programs is what we call a corporate recognition program, and that is, you know, giving the recognition to the employees and all. A lot of times companies will say, well, we can't do that, we're not big enough, or they think they have to pick one thing and that's all that that's going to be, and every one of their employees is going to get exactly the same gift. We have a program that allows them to choose any number of gifts, and it can be different every time. Every employee, every time they have one, regardless of what it is, the employee can actually go and pick the
gift recipient.
The recipient,
category of gifts or something.
Exactly. The recipient goes in and we have a selection.
Choice.
The selection is based on what the company wants to do. So we aren't going to have gifts in there for hundreds of dollars when the company doesn't want to spend but $5 on that. But we let them have a selection and then we work with the employee, say, until we get it made personalized exactly the way they want it, and then we give it to the company and they present it to them.
I love it. And incidentally, for whatever my opinion is worth, I think for like a number two person in a middle market media company, gifts of hundreds of thousands of dollars is probably that's probably appropriate.
Probably
for them
to
choose.
Just say
don't you think?
Exactly, yeah. And then you could just choose anything you wanted would work.
So, what do you like the most? What do you find the most rewarding about this?
Well, like I said, I've been in sales and marketing for years.
I can tell. You like hanging out with people, don't you?
Yes, I do. And this is actually my daughter's business. She has been doing this for years, but we decided 3 years ago to incorporate the name. And that's where when we started with Sane Gifts and made it, you know, got the website, kind of incorporated everything into it. And I thoroughly enjoy it. I get out and call on people, call on companies, work with people, and every time I show them something that's a little different and they have the same reaction you did, that you mean I can get that and I might could just get one, or I might could pick what I wanted, or you mean I could have my picture on that? And you always get these responses, and so it's very enjoyable. I love it. I love being doing
it. Well, I can tell. I'm trying to envision me calling up my mom and say, Mom, would you mind going to the marketplace and talking to people about underwriting their own radio show?
Yeah, she can have the Pensacola territory.
That's right, Mom. I'll give you the whole Northwest Florida.
So, Pat, if somebody wanted to learn more, what's the coordinates for the website?
Yeah, it's saingifts.com, and that's S-A-I-N, gifts.com. The telephone number is 678-504-5623.
And then the range of pricing for these gifts, does it start at like $1 million and up, or where does it start?
Only for you, Lee, only for you. Otherwise, it's, I mean, literally $10 to hundreds.
Wow. So it's something for everybody over there.
Exactly.
And that's Sane Gifts, S-A-I-N, Gifts, G-I-F-T-S, yes, .com.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. Thoroughly enjoyed meeting all of you.
All right. And thanks to all of our guests. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton, our producer, Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.